damn face.
That smile.
That's how it all started.
This damn smile.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to the Essential Scares Podcast, the only show that dares to ask the question, is it essential? I am your host, Corbin, and with me today, as always, is Alan.
Good evening.
And, of course, Smiley Bob.
Hello.
We have got an interesting show for you today. We are going to be continuing our Ghoulie Mash with the second in the franchise, aptly named Ghoulies 2. But before we get into it, Bobby has a spoiler warning.
I do. This will serve as your first one and only spoiler warning for the film Ghoulies 2. If you do not want this film spoiled for you, please skip to the time code provided in our description or show notes for our essential spoiler-free discussion. Try as I may, I cannot fall back. And I cannot deny God's laws. And one of God's greatest laws is that PG-13 horror is bad. And I thought the one exception that proves the rule was that Ghoulies exists. But then Ghoulies 2 came along. And I've learned again that you cannot go against God's law, Alan.
You know, I like the poetic, it's the solid. Poetic nature, yeah, of where you were there. You were in a very special place, just kind of like in your zone there, bud.
Yeah.
So Ghoulies 2 starts with some occultists chasing a priest, as all good ghoulie movies effectively need to start, as we have learned now. This priest is trying to kill the ghoulies by throwing them in acid, which, let's be real, that was never going to work. These are demonic beasts that come from hell. What's acid to them? Like, come on, priest, you didn't throw them in, like, holy water or some shit? Come on, gotta think outside the box. That inevitably fails. This priest is murdered by some ghoulies.
He's trying to sanctify the acid.
Well, he didn't do a good job at it. The ghoulies came out, and he went in, and the acid sanctified him very vigorously. Now, by just pure chance, these carnies show up, going to Satan's Den, which features some ghoulie-like creatures on it. And the ghoulies naturally get inside this big truck heading to the carnival, and then wreak havoc on the ensuing carnival that is trying to be dismantled by the owner's idiot accountant son. And I take no offense as an idiot accountant. And let's open it from there. I love this.
I spent 30 years of my life not watching this movie. I spent 30 years.
Okay.
Thinking, I love the first Ghoulies movie. There's no way this can top it. And then, on a random Friday night, I watch this movie with my wife, and my mind is just shattered into a trillion pieces.
You should put that in your calendar.
How many of those pieces are ghoulies?
Put it in your calendar as like your ghoulieversary.
It's everything. It is Ghoulies 2 is everything to me. It's got ghoulies. It's got a capitalist antagonist. It's got it's got rough and tumble punk rockers. It's got a character named Bobby who sucks, sure, but also doesn't die.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing.
I thought this movie was PG-13 the whole time. So when we're like a quarter of the way through the movie and the drunk uncle is like, "The great fucking Falso is here," I'm like, what a good use of your F-bomb. Like, way to go, Ghoulies. And then like later they throw another one and I was like, wait a minute.
What's going on here? I checked it like 8 minutes into the movie because I couldn't remember. And I just scrolled, did the Tubi scroll to see what it was rated. I was like, oh yeah, it is rated R this time. I was pretty sure.
Ignoring all of the pornography plastered across the walls in the gas station. That's very funny.
Yeah, that didn't set off any flags, I guess. I don't think I even noticed.
Yeah.
There's like several long shots of like them at the window and the priest just hitting there and there's just like titties next to his face. Like,
well, I was too busy looking at what was truly intended, right? The priest,
the Ghoulies.
Yeah. I love how the Ghoulies, when they're put into the vat of acid, it does actually work for at first, right? The acid does work, and they like melt down to just like skull Ghoulies, and then they regenerate. That's very funny.
Yeah.
It's all Ghoulies. I just skull really Ghoulies like are very fun.
Yes, absolutely. The introduction of the Bat Ghoulie.
Bat-Ghoulie is pretty goated in this film. The Bat-Ghoulie is all over the place.
The Bat-Ghoulie is an ex machina in and of itself. It's never around.
It's a ghoulie ex machina, like, as it were.
Yeah. Ghoulie ex machina. Yeah.
Why is the background music so good in this film? Yes. And then also like really weird, like with placement sometimes.
See, yeah, like I felt like. I'll say that the first 10 or 15 minutes of the movie had me really thinking. I even made a note that like the music was really good. And then it was like, it was just kind of gone for a lot of the movie. I think horribly underutilized. And at times it wasn't that good. So I think overall it kind of balances out the score to just being like average because
it goes just ham. Wasn't there. It goes ham every time it's used, but it's not used nearly enough.
Well, and the one of the big gaps between them is like there's, you know, a lot of stuff happening in the beginning with music, and then there's quite a big gap, and then near the end, like the female love interest is like telling this horrible story about her brother dying, and there's this like love music playing because then her and our other protagonist like, oh, we love each other through this horrible, terrifying.
Well, that's just that's such a grim, weird. That's the Gremlin discord.
My favorite part about that scene is it was so clearly made at craft services. Like they're just hanging out backstage because it's like they've got like.
There's like the lunch tray in the background. It looks exactly like just the background set. They're like, we don't got any money for this shit, so let's just film it over there. Like, and they did, and it worked.
Let's go get some coffee at craft services. Oh, man.
Another thing in the audio department, the background audio of, like, it just in general events is hilarious.
It absolutely like, they're just, is.
For, like, this movie doesn't need to have, like, as good an audio anything as it does. I was shocked by that through
this movie doesn't need to be... And like this movie, okay, right? We all know, right? Ghoulies 1, I love it. It's perfect. It's bad, right? This movie should have been bad. Like, by all accounts, it should have been bad. And I was ready for like, oh, a fun little irony watch for irony poisoned Bobby. Did not expect to be genuinely entertained by this movie. I'm shocked and awed.
Another thing too, if you remember from last week, I criticized the fact that no one really dies in the first Ghoulies. People get eviscerated in this film, and I'm a big fan of that. Like, the Ghoulies actually are like demons this time. Now they're mischievous little demons, and they love performing for people. But like, their performing for people is killing other people. So like, I actually liked that these weren't just like. Silly little dudes that are creeping around a house, but no, they're silly little dudes that are killing around a carnival. It worked more for me. Mm-hmm. Like just I in, really in like, the base concept.
I really like the bit where Bobby and the other teenager are like about to get killed and everyone's just going like, yeah, fucking yeah. Or like the kid with the ninja just fucking throws a ninja star at him.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. The ninja star is the greatest scene in this film. Right? them screaming, this isn't a joke, this is real, had Hell House vibes to it.
Yeah.
In like all the right ways too.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. It's just fucking and like Nigel, right? Like we
two for two Ghoulies movies with little people, huh?
I was gonna say hot off the presses of mean spirited little people representation, we get just straight up like a well put together little person representation. He's just a Shakespearean actor who's forced to work in a sideshow because of the way he was born, and like still, but it's like still like this interesting, funny guy who's all pissed off that he has to do this type of job. Great character, and the dude does a really good job with it. Like it's so like, I think he's supposed to be English, which his English accent is okay, but the acting is good.
Well, he's from East Westfordshire, so the accent is different there.
You wouldn't know.
You Americans can't distinguish any other accents aside from your own.
That's right.
You see,
yeah, he not even my fool own.
In King Lear at the Old Globe.
Yeah,
my boy,
could not be me.
This movie, okay, so like that's the thing. This movie is just full of character. Mm-hmm. It's just full of it.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Chock full. Go for it.
When we started this film franchise, I came in negative because I did not like the Ghoulies. I liked it more on second viewing and talking it through. I could not have predicted that I was going to sit here on this talk and compare this movie to Hell House, unironically, in a good way. Okay? Hell House is a gem. It's phenomenal. Great movie. This is Ghoulies 2 that we're talking about here. Like,
yeah,
I feel like it's just the most unexpected good horror film I've watched in a very long time. Like, it has this charm to it. It has everything I wanted in a horror comedy, and I never would have predicted that. Never.
How could you, right? Like, I don't know. Corbin, what did you think of this movie? You haven't actually said much.
Well, I mean, I liked it, but I'm not, like, in love with it. So, you know, you guys are... I'm sorry. I enjoyed...
Oh, no. There's an island in the Pacific Ocean.
I enjoyed my time with Ghoulies 2, and I would definitely like to watch it again. Like, you know, like, not, like, immediately, but, you know, at some point. I liked how like kitschy it was, you know. I like things that are kind of intentionally kitschy, and this movie feels like that. But
it's got Killer Clowns from Outer Space vibes in that way.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, even like that guy is the guy who plays the uncle is definitely that guy from the beginning of Killer Clowns.
Yeah, he yeah
very
yeah,
funny.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So I don't know. I enjoyed it. It's generally funny. I mean, I like the Ghoulies. I think that maybe I would have liked it more if I had seen it when I was younger. It kind of feels like it. This one to me feels more like a Gremlins ripoff. Like the first one definitely isn't, but this one definitely is. And I think it's a little obvious. And I really love Gremlins and the second one. But maybe I don't love small creature horror. Maybe I just like Gremlins.
That's fair. But Corbin, the Ghoulies high five each other.
I made a note of that. I was like, oh my god, the Ghoulies high five.
It's so good.
I love everything with the Ghoulies in it. You know, like it's kind of
that's fair.
So like this movie is astronomically better than the first movie because this movie is actually about Ghoulies, right? Which is what you want the franchise to be, right? The puppets are better, the Ghoulies are better. You know, there's kills in
this
movie.
There's some fun like, stop motion happening there.
I loved the stop motion. I kind of wish we had more of that.
I think that's one of my biggest criticisms because like you get more Ghoulies, mm-hmm. and that's great. and you get moving Ghoulies, even better. Like, there is that missing horror element with, and I think the stop motion absolutely could have filled that gap, like, perfectly.
I don't disagree. I do agree. I think that this movie is obviously much more of a Gremlins ripoff, which is because Ghoulies, what, like you said, absolutely is not that, right? It's more of a haunted house film than anything else, and Ghoulies 2 is very much small demon creature. What I do love about this, however, is the fact that this movie can continue in, like, continuity with the first one. This is like Astaroth and Paimon and, like, Tempest, like, all they are still the same demons that were summoned by a cult of black magicians that, like, that's hilarious to me. And I think where this movie, you know, we talked about it last week or 2 weeks ago when we talked about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre at the beginning, about just going for it, where I would argue that Texas Chainsaw Massacre at the beginning doesn't. This movie just does. It just fucking full on goes, yep, this is the type of movie we are now. Like, and
it feels like their whole writer's room was just a big yes and session.
Yeah.
In, like, all the correct way. Like, that's so easy to make that be a very bad scenario, but it just, like, they just, like, hit a really good, like, middle ground with this. Like, yeah, of course we have a drunk magician uncle. Yeah, of course he thinks he summoned these ghoulies. Yes, which, and of course they run away when he brings other people to try and see them, because of course they would. Yes, and he summons a giant one, because of course, like, it just keeps steamrolling.
And we'll get the cat ghoulie to get the first kill in the movie by making a vagina joke.
Yeah, why not?
I
found that joke actually kind of funny.
I loved it. I laughed very hard. I thought it was very funny, right? Is it funny for the right reasons? Probably not, because they're just talking about, like, not. You're a whore. You're a whore and a slut and a whore. And she's like, I don't know. I just want to leave the carnival with my cat. Like, and then she talks to the old man who's the strong man. Oh, my God. Like, and you kind of buy it too by the end of the movie. You're like, yeah, he could be a strong man.
Well, like, they fool you just like a regular carnival, right? I mean, you see him do several strong things.
Yeah, he does many feats of strength. You know, there's fire blasting out of mouths. It's amazing. There's dancers.
He bends the iron bar.
It's got all you want.
Yeah. I love the carnival. I love a good carnival aesthetic.
Great setting. It's like a fantastic setting too. Like,
it works so well because this movie is inherently silly. Like, the whole idea, Ghoulies are silly, period. There's no way to get around that. What is more silly than a fucking carnival?
College.
The Renaissance Fair? Maybe. Like, that's maybe sillier, but, and like, who, there's levels there.
And who is trying to stop the fun? The capitalist.
The accountant asshole.
Down with the bourgeois pigs. Ghoulies is Praxis. I said it. Ghoulies 2 is Praxis.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know, Bobby, Carnival's got to make money.
It does have to make money. I mean, and I'm going to need to see those receipts
In my
shit.
Socialist utopia carnival, there will be no money, just fun.
I'll never say no to profit.
Did you enjoy him dying by getting his dick bit off?
Is that what it was?
What happens to him?
Absolutely, the snakes on a plane gag, but 20 years early. It's absolutely.
I thought the fish boy ghoulie went up his butt. I thought that.
Why would you think that?
Because he sits down.
No, he doesn't.
No, he unzips and then he. Yeah.
I remember. Okay, so maybe I'm misremembering. I remember him sitting down. And then him going, up, like, on the toilet. So,
his scream was legendarily bad in, like, the right ways.
Yeah.
Like, it's so awful, but it's so good.
There's a weird bit in this where he is not meant to be a bad guy for a second, too. Where, like, he's talking with the love interest, the trapeze artist dancer lady. And, like, he is just kind of nice. To her,
yeah,
and then it's over.
I mean, you see Bobby.
He's not the villain. He's just here for profit. Yeah, he's just the businessman. Yeah. You know?
She's clearly talented. She is the one actually talented person in the whole of the carnival. Yeah. And he's like, we need to get you making real money.
He's trying to build a better carnival. I mean, I don't
Yeah.
I mean, the ghoulies are the villains. Like, we're focusing on the wrong player here.
No. I get it. In true Lovecraftian sense,
the water ghoulie eats somebody. Like he's the bad guy.
He only eats his arm.
We don't know what he did off screen after that. Like that cloud never gets out of the pool.
That's true. He just stays in there. I mean, even if he did, he'd bleed out.
Yeah,
they don't have medical training in the carnival. Yeah, are you kidding?
That guy was a goner for sure.
Yeah.
They have to have medical training. How many carnies loses their arm on the Tilt-A-Whirl? Think about it. Use your brain.
Well, you just get a new carny
on that Tilt-A-Whirl. Actually, wait a minute. Hold on. How many people did die from that Tilt-A-Whirl? Because like the ghoulie causes the
old couple.
People die from that.
That is so funny.
The fact that people actually die in this film is wonderful. Like, yeah. It really gives credence to the whole demon thing. And, like, in really cool ways, too. Because you're at a carnival. Yeah. Yes and scenario. Oh, of course the ghoulies make a ride fly into the air hit another ride to kill people. Yeah, amazing. Of course they do. They stretch a dude out and chop him in half. Because of course they do.
Amazing.
It's great. What more do you want? Corbin, I ask. On your island of sadness.
I'm not sad.
What more do you want?
I liked the movie. I'm not sad.
Your island of disappointment.
I'm not disappointed. It's better
your
than
your island
I thought
of
it
not
was
liking good. The movie as much as Bobby and I do.
Well, that's tough to say. I mean, well. I don't know that there's anything that I would change. I mean, I just like, you know, we've had this conversation before with like certain kitschy movies or movies that are like definitely like bad but good, and like I think there's just a level of taste there sometimes. Like I don't think that this, I disagree with the point that this is a good movie, but I do think that I enjoyed this movie. You know, I think that it is a, like, I wouldn't put this with Killer Clowns, which I think is a good movie. I would put this maybe with like Silent Night, Deadly Night, which is a bad movie that I like. Bobby is disappointed that I just did that those were the two movies I picked.
No, because I think Killer Clowns is a special type of really good movie.
Yeah.
And I think that this actually, if we're going to, like, we're obviously not the score section yet, but I think this is probably most accurately compared to a Blood Diner.
See, I feel like I really tried not to compare movies to Blood Diner, because
Blood Diner
every time
is so unique.
Yeah, every time I think, oh, this movie is so bad it might be good, just like Blood Diner, I go, well, maybe this movie wasn't that good at all actually, because Blood Diner is so much better. Like,
yeah, Blood Diner was the ultimate fan pick, and
Blood Diner is
like,
so good. Yeah.
It's just so good.
I have to refrain from, you know.
But I think this movie, again, I really came into this not knowing what to expect, and had, like, in the same way, not knowing to expect with Blood Diner, and really had my mind blown by this movie. Because, like, while Blood Diner is obviously much more of, like, a gore gross out fest, which is awesome, like, in, like, the best way possible.
It's very fun.
This movie just... It just hits the mark, man. That like it's part of this like weird time in especially horror movies where like so much of what you're expecting to happen is paint by numbers, but then every so often movies like this come around where it's like, what the fuck? Like, they're still technically doing the paint by numbers, but like they'll just be weird little side plots. Like, what the fuck is going on?
They're paint by numbers, but in all contrasting colors.
Like they summon a bigger fish ghoulie.
Okay,
like,
I love
that. Just eats ghoulies.
Big ghoulie was amazing. Like when
big ghoulie was amazing.
I definitely thought that they were gonna like mess up the spell to kill the ghoulies or whatever, right? Because like, you know, I obviously like that when they did their fake Latin, and I heard them say like, you know, gigantus or whatever. It's like, oh, big ghoulie's coming for sure. And the big ghoulie does come, but I love that the spell works because it does get rid of the ghoulies. It's like, like, oh, that's
it does
that's,
its job.
That's kind of funny, like, actually.
Oh, okay.
No, Big Ghoulie was great. I really like Big Ghoulie. This whole movie could have been about one Big Ghoulie, and I might have liked it more, actually.
Big Ghoulie is amazing. Well, like, and it's so out of fucking left field. You're like, what? Like you hear it like in the Latin, you're like, okay. But like, Big Ghoulie happens and it works, and then it's they kill it with a Molotov cocktail.
Yeah, that was very funny.
Just like, but he's like, God.
Well, the fire doesn't affect him on the outside, but maybe on the inside, and then it just works, right?
And then and that's also in that moment is when he finally calls him a little ghoulie, yeah, too. Yeah. We get the title. Yeah.
They said the thing. They said the thing.
Oh boy.
Like, and this movie somehow, okay, that's the thing. Like, this movie is not, it's got ex machinas in it, but it's not full of them. And like, the plot actually makes sense this time.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Like, this, it's like a fully put together movie with fun, interesting plot bits where like the side characters, small and big, feel really fleshed out. Right,
you're telling me you can have a concrete understanding of a flow of time in this film?
Yes.
Wow, that's revolutionary for this film franchise.
This film takes place over the course of a weekend, and you understand that that's what this is.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's amazing. It's amazing.
Oh, big.
Most of this movie takes place over one night, like.
Yeah, that first night, really.
Yeah.
Well, the first night when they're at the carnival.
Yeah.
That's all the stage, all the ghoulies show up.
Yeah, but all the killing is the second night. Like the main killing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Where they come back they go to the park where everything's going well, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So good. So good.
How good?
How good?
How good?
How like good? On a scale of 0 to 5 with half points allowed?
That's exactly how good I'm asking. How did you know that? Are you in my head?
Yes.
Are you behind me?
Yes.
What the fuck?
It's almost as if we've been doing this podcast for over a year.
Almost two.
Almost two.
Even wilder.
I compared this movie to Blood Diner. We gave Blood Diner 3.5s across the board. I think this movie really does hit that mark for me, right? Didn't we give Blood Diner 3.5 across the board?
I know I gave it a 3.5 because I was looking at this earlier.
I want to see. Yeah, okay. I did my research before the podcast. I wanted to make sure I was right, and then you made me.
Well, because the score just felt low for me. Thinking back on how I feel about Blood Diner,
I think you're right. I think you're right. I think that but I was sitting with that score and I was sitting with this movie with that score. And I was like, that feels right. This feels like a really good 3.5 out of 5. Like, again, it isn't. And like, it's like a Bobby 3.5 out of 5 where it like, again, it transcends so bad. It's good where it's good on its own merits. Also that it's just awesome, but it's not like a perfect movie. So it's a 3.5 out of 5. But again, I'm so sad and so mad that it took me this long to watch this movie.
I'm shocked that it took you this long to watch, only because you've been talking about Ghoulies for so long. And it's like, I've always thought, like, well, surely he's seen all of them. He's a Ghoulies fan. He loves the Ghoulies. Like, I had no idea until last week that you've only seen Ghoulies 1.
Yeah, I know. That's the because I always just loved Ghoulie. I always loved that movie, and I have a feeling I'm gonna love all of these movies. Like I came into this week hesitant. Now I go in steadfast with knowledge, with knowing that at least this movie is 50. This franchise is 50-50 bangers, possibly 75-25, possibly a clean sweep of 100%.
I'll be very surprised if this is 100% sweep.
Hey, listen, we're gonna find out. I come in with hopes now, with dreams.
Alan,
yeah, I want to go next because I think we're gonna stair step this score. Okay. Because as much as I did enjoy this film, quite a lot, frankly, I can't give it the 3.5 that I gave Blood Diner. Blood Diner's a better movie, just period. On its own merits, on its own funny, on its own everything. Sorry, Ghoulies 2. You're fun. and that'll earn you a 3 out of 5. I think it's a slightly above average film on entirely its own merits. Unironically, I was stunned when I watched this film. I watched it on Saturday, and I couldn't believe how funny it was. I couldn't believe just how actually scary the Ghoulies kind of are, in the fact that they actually kill people. It just worked for me on every level I could have wanted it to. So it doubles the score effectively of the first for me, up to a 3. I mean, this to me is like, why watch Ghoulies when you can just watch Ghoulies 2? And you're not really losing anything by just skipping Ghoulies 1 and only watching Ghoulies 2. I don't think, at least. I think you get the essence of what they are. They're more demonic in this film. Now, make no mistake, Ghoulies 1 is fun on its own merits, but I think this is just... I don't think that the franchise is going to be better than this. I truly don't. Because if it is... I don't know what I'm going to do with myself if this is better than this.
Imagine how good the potential for Ghoulies Goes to College can be. We've seen them in a house.
Can't be good.
We've seen them in a carnival. Surely it can't be. But what if we choose to believe with a little bit of black magic?
There's no way. Corbin, where are you at?
Yeah. So, Alan, you're right. I mean, I'll just get ahead of it. 2.5 for me. I enjoyed this movie. It was funny. It had some really good gags. One of my favorite parts I meant to mention earlier was the very first time you see all the Ghoulies on screen and they do like that cartoon gag where they like come out of the door like one on top of each other. That was so funny.
I had it written down. It's so good.
It's so good. A bunch of good gags.
This movie makes my heart sick.
The puppets are incredible. You know, it has some pretty solid B-movie style acting. But I don't think that this is an above average horror comedy. I think it's a good average horror comedy, and I think it's worth watching. I definitely agree that this is probably the apex of the franchise, and also that you don't need to watch the first movie. You can just go straight to this one. Knowing what all the elements that combined to make this one what it was, as funny as Ghoulies Goes to College could be, I just can't imagine. I can't imagine it's better than this. I am open to the prospect. But I'll be shocked.
I have something I'd like to present to the court of essentiality. We live in a world where Leprechaun in the Hood exists, which means there is potential for Ghoulies Go to College by
Leprechaun
definition.
Into Hood might be one of the better Leprechaun movies.
But that's
what I'm saying.
It took a long time for Leprechaun to get to the Hood, though. They went through a lot more years and a lot more movies before that happened. I worry that maybe Ghoulie is going to college. Maybe it happens too soon. Maybe we don't get enough time with the Ghoulies before, you know.
Listen.
Before we see them go off.
You're just really nervous to see Fishboy Ghoulie get a lip ring.
It's hard letting go.
For cat Ghoulie to have a bisexual phase. Right? You're...
For Bat Ghoulie to just really get into hardcore drugs for just one semester. He took 22 credit hours. It's pretty brutal.
Just super into acid. Just really.
He basically just becomes Hermione with a time turner because that's just how he has to exist in life. There's nothing he can do about it. It is what it is.
Oh, boy. Well, scoring movies isn't the only thing we do on this show. Yeah, we also discuss whether or not a film is essential to horror as a whole. If you have skipped to this part, this section is spoiler free. And our scores so far were a 3.5 from Bobby, a 3 from Alan, and a 2.5 from me. So quite respectable all around, bordering on great even. I would like to, we'll go in uno reverso order, and I'll go first. Do I think that Ghoulies 2 is essential to horror? Now, I said no last week. In fact, almost everybody did, you know, except for Alan. And
I said no. I will not deal with this slander.
Nope, says. Alan. Unfortunately, yeah. And
it's not says nothing. I'm looking at it.
It's not what our heart says because we know what you did, Mister Checking eBay, in the middle of a podcast.
Anyway, you know.
Yeah.
So
unbelievable.
I mentioned during the review portion that I think that this might be the ultimate Ghoulies movie. I don't think it gets any better than this. And full disclosure, I haven't seen the other two, so I could be really, really wrong on this. And, you know, maybe we should watch the whole franchise before we do this part so we can answer that question with more authority, but nah. So I'm going to go ahead and say, actually, that I think that, yes, this movie is essential. And it's because I think that the Ghoulies themselves are probably essential. Like, people know who the Ghoulies are, like, you know, they know what a ghoulie is, even if they don't know that they're called ghoulies. And, you know, that we mentioned that last week, and we kind of had said, oh, despite that, ghoulies isn't essential. But I think that that lends to this movie being essential, because now it's like, oh, you ever heard of a ghoulie? Here's the one to watch. It's actually pretty good. So I'll say yes. You know, I think that it's up there as some of the better small critter horror comedies.
Yeah, I mean, it's my turn.
It does.
When I think through this movie slash franchise in terms of essentiality, I don't think there's anything it does that's particularly original. I don't think that it is. I don't think there's anything in this film you can't find in other pieces of horror in a general sense. I don't think that that is where the discussion needs to lie for this film, because not all horror movies are going to be a paradigm shift in horror. That's just not the way things function and flow. You know, you have to have, you know, someone come up with an idea, something new, something innovative, pursue that, do it, here we are, and then people iterate on that until the next new idea happens, and we go through those types of cycles, and that's how we get different subgenres of horror. It's great. So why am I saying yes that Ghoulies 2 is essential then? Well, I'll answer that question pretty simply. It's because this film is one of those, like, such an easy horror movie to recommend to anyone. And I think they get a lot out of it. I think this is like chicken noodle soup for the horror fan. Like, it's just such a watchable, fun, cool movie with these very good characters in the Ghoulies that you can easily attach onto and go, oh, these are cool little critter dudes, and then they get into mischief and whatnot. Like, it earns a spot in the you really should watch this movie type of essential discussion, where I think to round out one's horror knowledge, this has got to be in there. And if there's just going to be one, which I'm going to go out on a limb here and say there's only going to be one of this franchise that's essential, it's this one. This is the one to watch. So, yes.
I will not be the fool.
Okay.
I will not be the fool to say that only Ghoulies 2 may be the only essential out of them. I will not be the fool. I will also say this. We make good points on Baby's First Horror and whatever Corbin said. We make great points on those things.
But that sums up like the whole 79 episodes, honestly. Oh boy.
But it wouldn't be an episode of Essential Scares if we did not round out this essential discussion with Bobby's favorite way of making essential discussions. Straight up bias. Yes, this movie is essential. And for no other reason than I liked it and I like this series. Fuck you guys. It's essential.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. Ghoulies 2, essential to horror. Oh.
I feel good about that. I feel good about this whole movie.
Oh, I feel wonderful. I feel warm and fuzzy inside.
Oh, man. Well, you know what? Besides Ghoulies 2, we also do other things in our spare time, I think, besides watch Ghoulies movies. At least Alan does. Alan, what have you been up to lately? Oh. Where can we find you on the internet?
Well, if you dive into the depths of the internet, you'll find a seal punter where I post the minis that I'm painting and the disc golf that I do when the weather is not awful. Yeah, really, that's all. I have not played a video game in like 2.5 weeks because every time I have like free time, I'm just painting. I'm just building. I have a big old pile of stuff to build that's just off camera over here. And, you know, that's really it. I've just been deep into the Warhammer side of things, listening to Fulgrim. It's, you know, it just the story marches on. You know, I've been pretty boring, honestly. That's it. I don't have anything going on.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well,
you can find me at Corbangerang on Twitter or at Bolters and Bourbon on Twitter and Mastodon. And, you know, it's a very similar, you know, list of items, right? Minus the disc golf. So it's been a lot of... it's been a lot of Warhammer, you know, building, painting. We are starting in a new big narrative campaign really soon. It's a worldwide campaign that we get to be a part of, which is super cool. And this is giving me a chance to finally run the Black Legion, which is like the main bad guy of Warhammer 40K. So I'm very, very excited. Besides that, there's really not a lot of time to...
I have a question on Black Legion. Yeah. Now, so your first game is Friday. Is when in just a few days, how much Black Legion is built versus how much
so painted? That's a great question, and most of it is built, right? Everything that's in my list is built, and then I've got a spare like 2,000 points on top of that I could add to the list, so like I'm in a good place building wise. How much of it is painted? None of it, because I decided to try a new paint range for this project, which is Monument Hobbies Pro Acryl paint range. And if you've spent any time at all with mini painting YouTube, you've seen people talk about this. I've heard nothing but good things, and I'm trying to put my hobby dollars towards improving like my tools and gameplay experience rather than just like hoarding models. So I bought a bunch of their paint, and my first usage of it is going to be on the Black Legion. And I had made a hobby resolution not to field any unpainted models, which is why Alan's asking me.
This was the crux of my question.
And I'm giving myself a small pass for Friday because I don't have the paint yet. So I really want to paint them all with this range. The paint is not in hand. I ordered it as soon as I made the decision. I just don't have it yet. It should be here in a few days, and then I'll bum rush at least 500 points for my following match, which will be on Wednesday. So
it's going to be so good to see your posts in the Warhammer and Whiskey Discord, where it'll just be, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning, and Corbin's like, "Hey, I painted some stuff." Everyone's asleep except like I love it. I'll wake up in the morning and I'll just scroll real quick before I like, you know, get myself ready for the day. And it'll be like a whole ass conversation happens at 3:30 in the morning because someone's awake when Corbin posts his picture of his painted minis. It's great.
Yeah. So that's my life.
Well, it's a real shame for you, Corbin. You can find me at twitch.tv/theredweenie where I have also not been posting. And my army is painted for Friday. So unfortunately for you, I will be destroying the gray, as it were, on Friday. I'm also part of that worldwide campaign. We're running a campaign through Goonhammer. They are much more famous than us, so they do not need our advertisement. But hey, fuck it, whatever. Other than that, haven't been doing much gaming wise or anything like that, but mostly just
gaming wise. Dead Space Remake comes out in like a week, so if there's a game that'll be applicable to us here, I mean, that's gonna be like the one.
I do love me some Dead Space. We should do that for the show. We'll talk about that afterwards.
That's not a bad idea.
Anyway, Yeah, not, I mean, I've been, life has been busy, so just been enjoying that. Twitch.tv/threadweenie. If I play Dead Space, I'll be streaming it live, and if anything like that happens, I'll be doing that there too. So yeah,
nice, thanks. And then you can find the podcast at Essential Scares on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We like to tweet primarily, so definitely follow us there, and you can find posts about all of our new episodes everywhere that you could follow us. In the bios for all of our socials is a link to our Discord and the other socials, and we would love it if you joined. We talk every single day about movies, music, games, and if you end up getting into Warhammer, we talk about that in there as well sometimes. We're always taking suggestions for future franchises to cover. We're open to doing movies, short form TV, and we've even covered a game one time. So, you know, who knows? hit us up if there's anything that you'd love to hear us or see us talk about. If you like the show, give us a rating, a like, a subscribe. Everything helps, and everything, you know, really makes us feel pretty good about doing the show still 79 weeks later, or 79 episodes later, because it's really been like 85 weeks, I think, by now. That's it for the week. Thank you to everybody for listening and watching. Thank you to Alan and Bobby for being on the show. This week has been Ghoulies 2, and next week, the Ghoulies are going to college. I've been your host, Corbin, and this has been Essential Scares. College? Maybe? Cool?
Dude, I don't know what else. I don't know what else.
It can't be. It fucking can't be.